we have some major changes happening. And I wonder if each of us could reflect on what the Midwives Alliance of North America closing signifies for the profession itself.
Welcome back to the Midwifery Wisdom Podcast. This week, Augustine sits down with four different midwives to discuss something heavy on our minds, the recent closure of MANA. Together, these midwives share what this closure means for them and for the profession, their feelings, concerns, and past experiences they've had with MANA. We have the point of view of a senior student midwife, a few experienced midwives, and even a midwife that served on the board of MANA in the past. Together, these midwives also take a look into the future, what they hope for midwifery. Organizations that still remain open to support midwives in the United States, ways you can find support individually in your states, and tools they hope to see come about. Let's get into this important conversation.
Hi, I'm Wantina Brooks Roach, and I am a CPM in Kentucky. I have been a midwife for a long time, and fairly neutral on the closing of MANA because I haven't been that involved in MANA, even though I've been a member since I was an apprentice.
Well, my name's Dinesha Loudon. I'm a senior student and I'm in Kentucky. And I would say, as far as MANA closing, I would say my emotions are one or two. I mean, it's one of those things that you always hear. You hear about the organization but don't know much about. Everybody's like, you should join MANA. And then that's where it ends.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Wendy. I'm from Arizona. I'm a midwife, licensed midwife, CPM, and have been for 25 years. I have deep, I will even cry, deep sadness, grieving.
It's the end of an era.
Totally.
Well, I want to especially acknowledge your leadership role in MANA and how this must cut doubly. No one in leadership would expect to be a part of the team that closes an organization that you feel passionately about leading. And I'm friends with many of you on the board. And in several versions of the boards, years going back, and my heart is with all of you. And I guess I want to make it clear at the start of this podcast that this in no way is a presentation to malign any of the direct people who are in the leadership at any direct point. There's certainly been some time in the leadership when I think different decisions could have been made. And, you know, I'm sure you have reflected on that as well, but this is not an exercise in maligning or criticizing what has. I'm really glad you're here. And I hope some of the others, past leaders who I've invited, will also join. And the goal is to be real about where we are and imagine what we can collectively do as we go forward. So I just want to thank you very much for your courage and you being willing to be vulnerable with us and be here. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Lorena. I'm in Southern California. I have a home birth practice here with a little birth center thrown in there as well. I didn't even know MANA closed until you told me. So I was shocked. I immediately got onto interwebs and I noticed their website was already down. And that was very like, oh, wow, this is like, it's now, it's done. So that was really interesting. And then, you know, you start like going down the rabbit hole. Like, I remember having to learn about MANA in college. Like, it was part of our graduation assignment was to actually research MEEK and MANA and know the history of midwifery. And so it's really sad because it's like something, as a younger midwife, it feels like MANA was like the grandma that was always there, you know? Like, what happened? I felt like very surprised and just can't believe that I didn't even, like, I feel like I didn't even know, but it's probably my fault for not keeping up.
Well, I think you're not alone. I got that response from a lot of people. I think it has been very polarized across the whole profession over the last, I would say, full decade, maybe even longer. There's been some allegations, some struggles, and some secularism and different camps. And ultimately, I think either lack of communication or potentially outdated communication. Like, the world has changed really rapidly in the last 10 years, and social platforms weren't even a part of the charter, right? And so how things are communicated changed so quickly that it's almost like the organization couldn't quite keep up with where people were in time and space. And then also, I think there was some, and again, Wendy, I'm really glad you're here, and I don't want you or Liz or any of the other people to take this personally, but I wonder if there wasn't some shame around what was happening, so that there weren't big efforts to describe, you know, the perils or what was coming. Because I know many of you could, I mean, I felt like I could see it coming down the pike for a long time now that MANA was going to close. And I wonder if it wasn't shared for various reasons. Are you aware of anything, Wendy? I don't want to put you on the spot, but are you aware of, like, was it people's blatant kind of blinders not paying attention, or was it the organization not actively spreading the content, or like what resulted in, say, of the 20 people I asked to be on this panel, half of them didn't know the news. Do you know what's behind that?
Definitely, as you said, it's been a long road of closing. It's not just something that was decided overnight. The board kept dwindling to less and less people. And I left the board last summer, and, you know, we were going back and forth about the direction, and was there enough desire and momentum and people to do the work to keep going or not? And it was extremely clear last summer that there just wasn't the manpower to, woman power to continue forward, because the five of us at that time, there were five of us on the board, five very busy midwives leading a national organization, and not doing a very good job of it, because five very busy midwives. And so that it was rough even back then to kind of figure out what direction. And then I stepped off the board with the recommendation of closing MANA and moving on. And then it took them, you know, another 6 months to make those decisions and to do all the things. Because there's a lot of things that go into closing a national organization that's been around since forever. So one of those things was losing our website, and that happened by various conjunctures, mishaps, and we lost it, which means we lost our civvy, which means none of us were tech savvy enough to figure out how to get back into the mailing lists and all of the data forms that held all of the ways that we used to and always did disseminate information. And so literally the only thing we had was social media still, and that was it. So we sent out that big letter. Well, they sent out that big letter via social media, because literally was the only ways that we knew how. And then, you know, amongst anybody that they could get a hold of, our emails to send emails out of membership.
That makes a lot of sense. And I have so much compassion. I guess I know that there are people that are very angry with MANA, and I want to acknowledge that as well. But I think we can separate the organizational trajectory from the last few people left holding the reins. And I just want to say, like, I have so much compassion for trying to run a national organization while you're busy doing the work. I have so much compassion for the unrelenting tech advances that require another degree to even understand how to manage. And I also have so much compassion for being left being the ones left behind to deal with it, losing support, losing community support, losing tech support, losing, you know, coworkers and team member support. And I have a lot of compassion for what you and others in the last several years have walked through. And I think that any one of us who was busy could reflect on that and be like, yeah, I wouldn't know what to do either. How frustrating. So thank you for that. Well, I want to sort of move us into what this signifies. But, you know, like we said, it's an end of an era. We have some major changes happening. And I wonder if each of us could reflect on what the Midwives Alliance of North America closing signifies for the profession itself.
My first connection with MANA and first real contact with anything, even know what the organization was when I was 15 years old. And I was trying to get an apprenticeship and no one would talk to me because I was too young. And no one would talk to me unless I was able to prove that I was a MANA member and a state midwife organization member. But those were prerequisites for even being able to talk to a midwife about a preceptorship at that point. So I became a lifelong member of MANA. And, you know, I jumped through the hoops, did my apprenticeship. I can remember some regional meetings that probably happened. I remember getting notices about them. I remember getting them in the old listserv emails and thinking, yep, that's too far for me to drive, or oh, I've got somebody to do, I can't go. I can remember my preceptors going to some of the meetings. I can remember my preceptors being very excited to go to MANA conferences because it was the big conference. It was the connection point for everything. And I can remember the excitement of we get to go hang out with other midwives. Like that stays with me. That sheer level of connection to other midwives that made an impact on me as a student. I couldn't go, but I remember my preceptors going and I remember them being excited for having some time off and to be able to connect with midwives. I never went to a MANA conference. I never made it happen. Yeah, I just never made it happen. I just got busy with my own life, and probably because there was just too much going on with trying to pass laws in Indiana and become legal ourselves. You know, we were so in the streets fighting for what we needed that I think a lot of the Indiana midwives gradually forgot that there was a national organization that was supposed to be supporting and helping. And then it just got quieter and quieter and quieter. And I can't even remember the last time I heard of a MANA conference, you know, because they just stopped. It breaks my heart that something that had so much potential for connecting midwives across the world didn't make it because there wasn't enough midwives that could be less busy, you know. And it's back to that sustainability of midwifery, where there's not enough midwives so that you're not only using the busy midwives. We need 900,000 more midwives, you know. And if we had that many more midwives, we would be able to have not everybody be so crazy busy. You know, the busiest midwives get everything done, but they're also the busiest midwives and they can't do everything. It's part of the reason why I've never jumped on board at being on a board or being on my state organization. I'm still too busy. I'm still too in the streets to be able to have extra time to do that stuff. I think that there was an awful lot of gatekeeping that kept a lot of midwives from becoming midwives in the last 20 years. And I think MANA should be held accountable for some of that gatekeeping.
Ooh.
And that's a hard thing to say out loud and a hard thing for people to hear me say. But I think that it is true that we could have had so many more midwives. We could have. We could be looking at a totally different world if the midwives have been able to pull together and work together and be sustainable. And we're just not there. We're still not there. 30 years later, we're still not there. And now MANA's down.
You know, for me as a senior student, you know, the only reference point I have for MANA is like, that's where you go to get the information. You know, if you need something, Google. It's on Mana's website. And so it definitely means less information, which means less communication, which I feel like as a whole is midwifery. Like nobody communicates, nobody shares information, nobody really gathers. And I know, like we spoke a little bit ago about, I wish there was a place that we could go where a newer midwife can connect with an older midwife. I'm like, hey, I've never seen this before. What about this? What about that? And I really feel like collectively, as I've watched, like this is like the most drama-filled, uncommunicative profession that I've really seen. Things like this, like shows, makes it really clear, like we're not doing a good job in that area.
I was trying to think of other, like, is there, do we have a gap fill already in place? Are we missing something? So I know Mana being the bridge between CNMs and CPMs, or even just direct entry midwifery, whatever that may look like. But besides,
Not sure they do. I think that was the original charter, but I think it got lost along the way somewhere. Because I feel like there are many CPMs that feel like Mana doesn't actually fully represent them. And I think there are many CNMs who are like, no, that's not my organization. And now the birth keepers are like, no, that's not that. They don't represent me. And I feel like they've kind of, maybe it's just a signal that our society has polarized so completely. But I'm not sure that that's happening. I don't know.
and that might be a pop an unpopular opinion, but I kind of feel like it's polarization is almost a thing in and of itself. Like people want, they don't want to find the common ground, they want to find the differences, it seems like. And so that's very frustrating in my opinion. But instead of saying, where can we work together, where can we find community, even if we practice very different, that might be part of the problem. But I'm not sure. You know what? I do, like what Tina said, I remember Mana being the big thing when I first started. And I remember when I got to go to my first conference because it was within 2 hours of my birth radius. And it was a big deal. And there were tons of people there. And that was, I think, I don't know if much like a lot of other things COVID killed, I feel like that's where I started hearing less about Mana was after COVID. So just another thing to bite the dust in the last, 4 years.
COVID was a huge factor in all of that
I'm sure it
reorganization.
affected the bottom line a lot, right? Because when you couldn't have the conferences, I'm sure that changed everything.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. To me, it's a huge loss because we have siloed ourselves in these organizations that are very specific, right? The NACPM for CPMs and the, whatever. There's just a bunch of silos that have rolled out of Mana, which used to be the mother, the grandmother, whatever organization that housed everyone. It was a place for any kind of midwife, no matter what credentials or not credentials. And that's what I loved about Mana so much was that it was a place for everyone. And it wasn't just, I'm representing this. It was we represent all. And that's why I was in all the way with Mana from the very, very beginning. Now that it's not, we have an organization for whatever you want, but they're all siloed. And that makes me really sad that there's not a common place to come from all of these silos and meet together and have discussion and have talk. And Mana did sit at the table of so many very important places. And I think most importantly and most dear to my heart is ICM. That was one of the reasons I was brought onto the board several years ago, was to be the ICM rep. And I definitely have a very strong heart for the global perspective of midwives. And that was a huge blow to give up 2 seats at the ICM Congress. And now we have ACNM again, the silos, the ones that represent very certain midwives. They still have a voice there, but there are many kinds of American midwives that are not represented now. And that really, really, really breaks my heart. What's next? I don't know, but what we lost was really a big place for common ground of discussion.
Well, Wendy, Wantina, we're kind of the ones that have been around the block for a while. I thought it would be helpful. There's a bunch of students or new midwives that are listening to us, and they might be seeing this announcement and be like, I don't know. I don't really know. What is that? You know? And so I thought maybe we could describe the organizations that do still exist. And also if we could understand what has happened to MANA stats, those are two things I'd love to share.
I really actually don't know a lot of the organizations that are out there. There's quite a few, quite a few. And I'm currently looking around for a new organization. So I know Midwifery Wisdom Collective exists, and I'm involved with that because I believe in the vision of what you're doing, Augustine. And again, a place for all midwives, and especially combining the newer midwives with the older, wiser midwives. I really appreciate that. And the educational factor. I'm not super into the silos. So, you know, the NACPM and all of those exist. I'm not sure. I can't speak to most of them because I don't know.
Yeah, there are the advocacy organizations that exist for the specific provider type. So ACOG is the most common, right, for obstetricians and gynecologists. ACNM for certified nurse midwives, although they also have the credential CM, certified midwife that skips nursing, and then NACPM for CPMs. And then there's, you mentioned FAM, and this is for the Foundation for the Advancement of Midwifery. Is that the correct acronym, right? And they've been through several iterations, but they definitely still exist, and they are a fundraising organization predominantly, correct? It's like a foundation?
Correct, yeah.
Obviously, MEEC still exists, the Midwives Education Accreditation Council, meekschools.org, and that is who is empowered by the U.S. Department of Education to credential courses and schools. And so that's another organization that exists. And then, of course, there's NARM, the North American Registry of Midwives, who oversees the CPM credential, and ACNMB, which oversees the CNM credential. I think there's state agencies or state lobbyist organizations.
We don't even have state organizations in Kentucky, and there's several states I know that don't even have state. I don't know what the word is, state membership.
Yeah,
things, because it's just been easier just to run with NACPM. So all we have here in Kentucky is NACPM. So we have to join NACPM, join the chapter for Kentucky, and that's our connection point to find out anything that's going on in Kentucky. So if you're not a member of NACPM, you don't know anything that's going on in Kentucky legally, law-wise, or any even local CEUs. Like, it just, you just don't know, which is a little frustrating.
Yeah, I can imagine that. But there are a number of schools or states that are so new in licensure or came to licensure with NACPM's support. And so that they sort of
had that support. I think that's what happened, is we used NACPM to help with licensure. We've only been licensed for 3 years. So it still feels like a brand new baby state, and we're still trying to figure out how to walk.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, there are a number of states that had state organizations before NACPM even existed. And so Lorena in California and Wendy in Arizona, you both have been aware of or active in your state organizations. Tell us a little bit about that, Lorena.
Yeah, in California, we have CALM, which is California Association of Licensed Midwives. And our contact person, main contact person there is Rosanna Davis, and she's really good about keeping us updated on what's going on with our state, because we have a lot of issues with our regulations for breach and twins, and seems like we're always, feels like the sunset review is always pending for us. And we don't have our own midwifery board. We are governed by the medical board, which really sucks because they hold us to medical standards. But we do have our own organization that is helpful. But what we've been trying to push towards is having our own
independent
regulating board.
Mm-hmm. Wendy, tell us a little bit about Arizona. What's Arizona like?
We're governed by the Department of Health, and we do have a state organization that's been around since the early 80s. And it's pretty active. It's the Arizona midwives really like each other, which is great. So we like hanging out. We've had probably a monthly meeting since the 80s. And it's a great place for all of us to come and be together and learn whatever's going on. We do some politics, but because we're an association, we try to stay out of the political stuff. So there's other organizations that have popped up to help with the politics and doing any legislative work. One, we just opened Arizona Community Birth Coalition because we are trying to run more legislation. So we just decided let's make a very permanent organization that can do the politics. So there's other little organizations and offshoots that are happening all around Arizona. We have a really thriving, beautiful birth community.
Do you know about how many midwives are in Arizona?
Licensed midwives, there are about 90, between 90 and 100 licensed midwives. But there's maybe 50 to 60 that are actually practicing with any consistency.
And in California, I think you're over 300 licensed midwives in California.
I think we're over, there's been I know it's not as accurate, but I know we're into the 800s for licensure numbers, but that's practicing still. But
I know that California was sort of battling with Texas to have the most licensed midwives in the country per state. And of course, comparing that to Kentucky, where Juantina and Denisha are, do you know the total number of licensed midwives in Kentucky?
I do know the total number. We're at 47 Kentucky licenses issued. However, let me caution that by saying 99% of them don't actually live in Kentucky. So we only have between 15, I think we're up to 15 now, that actually live in Kentucky who are licensed. So it's still a baby.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that like our law, and I love our law. I'm a little partial to our law. So there's lots of people in surrounding states who are like, oh yeah, let's support this Kentucky law. And I want the benefits of having a Kentucky license. So there's lots of people in the surrounding states who have chosen to get a Kentucky license strictly for the benefits of Kentucky licensure.
Oh, interesting. Well, that is a sign that you wrote a good law. If people want licenses there, that's exciting. And there's also a number of senior students in your state that I know are getting close. So those numbers will grow in the coming years. That's very exciting. Well, I thought we could just sort of wrap up the conversation by taking, you know, this broad range of state statuses that we just reviewed, this shocking, sad development of the loss of our grandmother organization, if you will, although I don't know, I would say in a lot of ways, she had terminal cancer and something. So, we've got this sad loss and really look towards the future and imagine, this midwifery profession really is in a process of reinventing themselves. We lost the continuous thread of midwifery in the United States through the assaults of the medical association in the turn of the century and on through to the 50s. And various organizations have popped up trying to create that space again in states and nationally. As you all are aware, Midwifery Wisdom is doing that in some format right now of trying to hold space for the midwives themselves. But if you could look out across the many problems that we've discussed, the many challenges, and really imagine a pathway for midwifery that was successful, that was all that we imagine it to be, and that could be a whole nother podcast. What tool or resource or platform do you wish the profession had access to?
You know, I really feel like the conferences bring people together, which I know the Midwifery Wisdom Collective does that, but the conferences really help. It helps the polarization. And so I wish, just like Mana had, I wish we would have that access again to learn alongside our counterparts in the CNMs. And I know as CPMs, it can be a little bit scary sometimes when we go to some of the other conferences that aren't for our type of midwifery, even if we do CEUs with doctors and other practitioners, that can be intimidating. But
really, well, can I ask you a deeper question about this? Because obviously we do put on a national conference, and midwifery wisdom is unique in that we don't really support a specific provider type. We support a provider location. So we're focused on community-based birth and all the people that practice there, not a specific type. And I'm wondering, do you have any specific thoughts of like what we could be doing better to make that more enticing for folks?
I think kind of like when Tina said earlier, it's location is a lot of it too, because most people can't leave their practice or they can't, you know, travel expenses, time away, all that family. So getting, having more access to those things when they're just more options. Because I know that's what I heard over the years, like, oh, I can't go to MANA this year. It's in New York. I'm like, yeah, we cannot leave our practice to go to New York. So, so that's why with Calm, with our, when we have our own things, that's, we can go to those because they're closer. They're in our state and usually they're within a few hours. So, but I think that access to more options, more locations.
Yeah, that's great. Any other resources or tools you wish you had access to?
The more, the far, longer I'm in midwifery, which I'm sure everybody agrees as you get in there, I wish there were more, there was a way to bridge gaps with our community, with the doc, the OBs and the perinatologists, and not to be looked at in a way where we're like disregarded, irrelevant, because we are providing, we're at the ground level. We're working at the level with the community, which doctors and perinatologists and physician assistants, they are as well, but it's different. Like we're spending time. We know what's going on. We know their financial situations. We know their family problems. And I feel like we could be a very good gap fill in our community with the providers, the upper level providers. So if there was something that could bring everybody together, I mean, I feel like that would be amazing.
I just agree with that completely. The big thing is that I wish that national organizations had more help for local midwives is that making those connections with doctors and higher level care. Like nobody taught me how to do that. Nobody taught me how to, what to say or what not to say. You know, I wish there was more support for helping whatever state it is. You know, I think that may have been what Manda was hoping for, having the regional gatherings, was to give that local support, and it never just really fleshed out for whatever reason. But I think that's a big need on the ground level for many midwives, all types of midwives, whether they're nurse midwives, direct entry midwives, lay midwives, you know, whatever term you want to use. There's not support for how do you bridge the gap between other midwives and yourself, between hospital-based midwives and yourself, between hospital-based providers and yourself, to be able to easily, professionally access and be supportive and communicate clearly. And I think that's a big gap that is going to have to be filled by somebody soon. Or we're going to be right back to being hunted down, and the witch hunts will happen again. Even though we're licensed, I think it's still going to happen again if we don't have that clear ability to communicate well to higher level of providers that are very sure that we're out there taking their business. We're not, but they're sure we are. And then I think the other thing that nationally would be really helpful to help midwifery thrive is kind, compassionate care to sort out and to have nonviolent communication between midwives to unite the midwives better. I've watched midwives tear each other out from the inside out for years. We've all seen it. And there's not anybody that's a specialist in coming alongside and going, I understand you're a midwife. I understand you're a midwife. You know, that there is a special element of strong women that makes us all midwives. And when you have that many strong women in a room, there are strong words. And it is what it is. And I wouldn't change that about any midwife I've ever had the honor of spending time in a room with. But I wish there was more ways to help resolve the midwife on midwife conflict in each state, in each region, in each country. And I think, sadly enough, is that part of why some of these organizations have failed, is because we don't have that good, clear communication and no avenue for conflict resolution that is specific to midwives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Feel it. Yeah. It does not exist in most areas of the country. And I think this is what I would add, is like, this closure confirms the reality that we are almost too busy to help ourselves, that we are all living in scarcity, and scarcity makes us feel like there's not enough. And when there's not enough, our communication is deeply injurious, because we're playing all for one, kind of like all for myself kind of a game, where we're afraid primarily, and then we become combative because we can't lose anymore. And I think losing mana is confirms that reality. And that's what I feel like needs to change, is that we need a group of midwives for the midwives. Because it is unrealistic to imagine that providers working 24-hour shifts or more on their knees next to cold birth tubs and, you know, doing all the things that we do, peeing in people's backyards because there's only one bathroom, and all the things that midwives do. It is unrealistic to imagine that we can go from that to then also putting on a dress and going to the state capitol and trying to advocate for laws that support the very thing we're doing, or doing calls to galvanize a community, or doing graphic design or social media or any of the stuff that it takes to actually support the organization. It feels unrealistic, impossible. So I feel like it's kind of like, no wonder. And that's what I'd love to see differently, is I would love to see a group of retired midwives or parents come together to midwife the midwives. That's what I feel like we need.
I spoke earlier about, you know, for me on the, you know, baby midwife side, wanting a place to go to connect with other more experienced midwives, you know, and sometimes you see things or hear things and you need another sounding board. So, you know, just a phone number or, you know, whatever, where you can,
an app.
Yeah, or an app, so you can find another midwife. I mean, you know, there might be a midwife in Hawaii or Alaska or New York that's seen some things that you've never seen. And you're like, hey, have you seen this? Like, I'm not crazy. Do you know what I mean? So that would be great. You know, a lot of the times you don't even know who's practicing in your area, let alone a different state or a different country, or, you know.
I feel like we have to have a place where we can all come together and have really hard talks, and without an agenda, you know, again, because we have these silos that have very specific credentials that they are fighting for. When they show up, they are fighting for those credentials and the best interests of that specific thing. And I think that's the part where I'm grieving so much, is that there's no one just fighting for midwifery. We have a crisis in this country of not enough midwives. And if each of us are fighting for our little credential, it's not helping the whole picture. And it's not moving us forward. And that is really, that breaks my heart. So to have this place where there is a structure, a table, so to speak, where all are welcome and can host those really difficult talks about how we move together as an entire profession, is where I just see we've got to figure something out to make that happen, because those talks have to happen, and they're happening in all the organizations. You know, I mean, I've talked to many people that sit on the boards of all these different organizations, and they're all struggling. They're all struggling because they're all fighting for their little piece, right? And if we don't figure out how to really come together to be one, that's going to be detrimental.
Well, that is the sum up of our situation. Thank you so much for all of you joining today and for sharing vulnerably with your emotions and your dreams for the future. I appreciate you all so much. Thank you.